back to Austin Hill in the morning. Questions or comments for the show? You can leave them on our show page at myfaithradio.com.
36 minutes past the hour. I'm Austin Hill, honored to have you with us from the Faith Radio Network. People kill others because they are evil. That's part of what was written over the weekend in a very striking, very thoughtful editorial piece authored by none less than pastor and evangelist Greg Laurie, whose ministry broadcast is heard daily here on Faith Radio. As a matter of fact, he went on to say, what we are seeing these days is persecution against Christians in the United States of America. We read almost daily stories of our brothers and sisters being martyred for their faith in Christ in the Middle East by groups like the Islamic State. But now this evil has come to our shores, end quote. Is there a call on the life of the Christian to try to fight back and try to protect the innocent from such evil? Abdu Murray is a frequent guest here on our program. He's an author. He's an apologist. He's been traveling, actually. He's a senior itinerant speaker with Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. He's author of the bestseller book, Grand Central Question. He joins us now on our guest line once again. Abdu Murray, welcome back to the program. Good to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Austin. It's good to be back.
A biblical perspective on tragedy and self-defense. That's something you're no stranger to talking about. Let's start with the biblical perspective on tragedy itself. Where do you begin that conversation?
Well, it's, you know, from the Bible's perspective, it's certainly not a stranger to this idea. In fact, one of the very first stories in the Bible itself is the story of human evil towards each other. One, we have the Adam and Eve story where Adam and Eve willfully disobey God and plunge themselves and their progeny essentially into a world that is essentially not protected in the sense that it was in the Garden of Eden. But then you also see Cain and Abel, and the very first murder happens where somebody murders not a stranger, but murders their brother. Mm-hmm. And so the Bible starts out with a story that's tragic. Now, obviously, I don't want to say sugarcoat things, but there's ultimately this idea, this wonderful idea in the Bible that all this is going to work out for the good because God, as the Bible says, works all things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So there is this sense of hope. There is this not just a sense of hope, but an expectation of something very, very wonderful that's going to happen. And so we have to be positive about these things. We also have to be realistic about these things, and the Bible is very realistic in its portrayal of human evil. One of the very first things we did was an evil act and murdered someone else who was made in God's image.
Mm-hmm. Abdu Murray, author of the book Grand Central Question. He's a Christian apologist and a philosopher. He's on our news line here on the Faith Radio Network. I appreciate the way you describe this. You don't want to sugarcoat things. The Christian does have to recognize and reckon with the problem of evil. And even just as sure as I was quoting some of an editorial written by the evangelist and pastor Greg Laurie, where he says, hey, listen, when these terrible shootings occur in our country, the conversation usually goes towards discussions about mental health problems or gun control problems. At the end of the day, the Christian has to recognize the problem of evil. Why is that so difficult, at least in the American church anyway, to wrestle with, in your view? Why would we prefer to just not deal with evil?
Well, you know, we can't ignore these issues. I don't think Greg Laurie is saying we have to ignore these issues of mental health and other things. But he is pointing out something we're often ignoring. He's pointing out this very key point that we're often ignoring something that is just in the pervasive part of the world. There is such a thing as evil. And one of the things that the church has succumbed to sometimes is that in our effort to want to talk about things like mental illness and other things that are important, we often have bought into the idea that, you know, to a postmodern idea, that ideas of objective evils and objective goods and all these things, these are all relative concerns and they don't really exist. And I think one of the other problems that we have is that we've bought into this idea because people have propagated it, because people don't want to have an inward look at themselves and realize their own inherent evil. That's why one of the reasons why I like the Christian faith so much and why I trust who Jesus is and what he says. Mm-hmm. He doesn't tell you what you want to hear. What you want to hear is you're inherently good. You're inherently going to seek the best thing. People will always work to the good of other people and all these things. He doesn't say that. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, he says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. That's something that he says about my heart, your heart, and everyone's heart. So he tells you not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And what we need to hear nowadays, especially, is that there is a real evil problem in the world. And wishing it away and talking about, you know, how we can help and drug ourselves into goodness is just not the reality of life.
Sure. That said, and I think your further clarification and articulation of Pastor Greg Laurie's idea is very well taken. By no means does he try to ignore mental health problems, legitimate real mental health problems, nor does he sidestep the issue of weapons and arms in his latest writing on this terrible shooting in Oregon. It strikes me, though, given the problem of evil, that at least as I read the scriptures, Abdu Murray, part of the call on the life of the Christian is try to restrain and constrain the proliferation of evil. And a lot of people who have gone before us, even previous generations of Americans, but certainly great men and women of the Christian faith down through the centuries, have lost their lives trying to constrain evil. Where do we engage that conversation, even as it pertains to, I don't know, acts of terrorism or random mass shootings like we're experiencing here in the U.S.?
Yeah, well, that's a fantastic question. We've been wrestling with how exactly to do it. I don't think the Christian faith ever debates the idea of whether we should do it. When you look at the Old Testament prophets, when you look at the statement that the Jews abided by this, or at least try to abide by this ethic, love justice, seek mercy, walk humbly with your God. And those things require us to actually help out the orphan, help out those who are oppressed, to fight for those who can't fight for themselves, especially when the cause is just. You see this all throughout the Old Testament, for example, when you see the slaughter of the Canaanites, even, which is often considered a black mark on the history of belief in God, so to speak. Well, they weren't just slaughtering people to slaughter people. They were defending the weak and the sick and those who were being picked off and those who were being sacrificed to gods in these fire pits and these kind of things. That's something that has historically been done in the church. And I think that that's something that we should be doing. That's a paradigm for us to follow, not necessarily go and slaughter people, but I mean to defend the weak and the poor and those who are being oppressed by essentially what amounts to terrorism. I think that there are cases throughout Christian history where we've seen some of the best social changes happen. Wilberforce and the abolition of slavery, the abolitionists, mm-hmm. almost all of whom were Christians. There were some secular people in there. But for the most part, the charge was led by Christians. So we see the Christian perceives an evil, wants to do something about it, not because of a sense of self-righteousness, but because he's emulating something specific. The God of the Bible himself actually didn't just sit by and watch us wallow in our own evil, though we deserve to do that. He went and did something about it, and that's what the cross is all about. He says everyone is equally sinful and equally in trouble. But God offers equal redemption to everyone who believes in what he's done for them and trusts in him. If a Christian is to emulate that kind of a thing, he has to look at evil and do something about it. Because if you don't, then essentially you're just saying that I'm not to be a follower of Christ or an imitator of Christ. If Christ did something about evil.
Mm-hmm. Abdu Murray, author of the book Grand Central Question. He's on our news line here on the Faith Radio Network. We'll take a quick break. We'll continue with Abdu Murray talking about this very contentious issue. I wish it weren't. I don't think it necessarily has to be, but it is nonetheless a contentious issue of self-defense and self-protection in our country and in our culture. And as the world becomes seemingly more dangerous, what are appropriate measures that Christians can engage with to try to constrain evil and protect the weak and the innocent? We'll continue with Abdu Murray in just moments. 45 minutes past the hour. It's the Faith Radio Network. Tuesday's underway, and I'm Austin Hill. Don't go away. It's now 47 minutes past the hour. On the Faith Radio Network, I'm Austin Hill. Now, in the midst of our discussion about the world becoming a more dangerous place, it's probably important to note that actually crime levels in the U.S. have been declining pretty precipitously over the last decade or so. And this, so far as we know, that trend is continuing. That said, we nonetheless have seen a proliferation of terrorism. I frankly regard what happened at the community college in Oregon last Thursday as an act of terrorism. And it's something that I think those of us who are in the pew and those in the pulpit need to be thinking about. What are appropriate measures to protect the innocent in the face of an increase in lawlessness and a rise of evil? Abdu Murray, author of the book Grand Central Question, he's on our news line here on the Faith Radio Network. So where do you go with the conversation about that, Abdu, appropriate measures at self-defense?
That sometimes seems like a tough one, I think, because you have within the Christian camp, for example, you have those who are pacifists. In fact, I have some friends who are pacifists who come from the Mennonite tradition and mm-hmm. would advocate a pacifism and would never sort of retaliate to physical violence with physical violence, even to protect themselves. I often wonder, sometimes that has worked. In fact, you have seen people in history, the Romans, for example, when Christians were persecuted by the Romans, they didn't necessarily, although sometimes they did, fight back. And eventually the Roman Empire was won for the cause of Christ. But they did something specific. They didn't just like let themselves die. They actually did something for the populace, for the people, and I'll get to that in a minute. But I do believe that there's biblical warrant for defending yourself. I do believe that there is a sacredness to life. I do believe that there's a warrant, biblically speaking, for us to say we have to protect innocent life and we have to protect our own life because it is a gift from God. And if someone has no value for that life and says, look, I'm not going to value that life whatsoever, I get to be the one who gets to determine what's right and what's wrong and who gets to live and who gets to die, we have to stand up. Now, I think we have to do that with the minimal amount of force necessary to subdue someone. In fact, the law requires that, in fact. But we do have to go into and physically sometimes defend human life. I think that's the only way you can seek justice and love mercy and walk humbly with our God. In fact, the Bible warns itself when it says seek justice. That is, sometimes people need to be punished for what they've done, or you need to stop something in the middle of it, out of an unfair situation. If an innocent is being hurt, you need to seek justice and stop it. But you also need to love mercy. And those who want to repent, we actually offer that opportunity. But for those who need to have that mercy by their life being saved, we have to do that as well. And mm-hmm. we can never forget that we have to walk humbly with our God, because sometimes if we get caught up in this idea of we're the arbiters of what's right and wrong, and we get to determine these things, and we get to be judge, jury, and executioner, we're not walking humbly with our God. So I think we still have to do this. Now, how? I think the forefathers of America actually thought about this, and a well-armed militia. I think that the right to bear arms, these are important things. We need to be able to protect each other. I also think that as a policy concern, and this has nothing to do with necessarily something biblically speaking specifically, but as a policy concern, if the innocent law-abiding people who really want to protect life and who care about it have the ability to do so, I think we're better off than just having criminals have the ability to take life. So that's more of a political issue, but I think that that's important as well. So we have a mandate to do this.
Sure. And I appreciate what you're saying. It becomes a political issue. It most certainly is a public policy issue. But as you're characterizing it, Abdu Murray, it's incredibly a moral issue. If you just joined us, Abdu Murray, a Christian apologist, itinerant speaker with Ravi Zacharias Ministries. He's on our newsline. He's also an attorney by training and profession. I want to read you something from a fellow attorney, a gentleman named William Jacobson, a law professor at Cornell University. Who wrote in USA Today over the weekend, he said, gun-free zones. This is going right for the jugular here of what happened in the community college in Oregon last Thursday. Gun-free zones presume the best of intentions among those entering the zone. The overwhelming majority of people who enter such zones have good intentions. But for those who have bad intentions, gun-free zones turn schools and other facilities into shooting galleries. The good people are unarmed. The evil person is armed. Help us take that to heart and take the gravity of that to bear in terms of, I don't know, church security, for example, when people are gathered together for prayer and worship. We saw an innocent gathering of that sort over the summer in South Carolina. Massive numbers of people slaughtered because one person entered the zone with evil intentions. What do we do about that?
That becomes, when you apply it to specific examples, people get nervous and sort of weird about it because they're like, well, I have the right to bear arms, so to speak, and I'm fine with bearing arms when I, you know, go to work or when I go to wherever I'm going, go to the store for, you know, a case of soda. But I don't like to do it in churches, and somehow it feels untoward. I'm not sure I understand why the distinction is actually there, why we're not okay with people bringing arms to church. Given the climate and given what's happening, I think when you have these racist things happening in the South where these people walk in and shoot people because of their skin color and because of their religious affiliations, when you walk into a community college in the Great Northwest, people do that as well. I'm not totally sure I understand the distinction why you shouldn't be able to bring those to certain places. So church security, I think that we should have security at our churches. We should feel that way. I'll tell you this, if there's many of our brothers and sisters overseas who would love to have a sense of security in their churches but can't because the state oppresses them in this sense. But I see nothing wrong with church security and having arms to do it. I see nothing wrong with that. Now, I realize that some pastors might think, well, that's a strategic bad move because people will feel like it's a, why should I be afraid to walk in your church kind of a thing. And so there's more of a public perception issue there. But I don't think there's a logical issue or a biblical issue with having armed people at church to take care of us and have security. In fact, most churches have security. It's just an unarmed security. Our church certainly has one. They have security for car thefts in the parking lot, for kids being taken. We have all kind of measures for that. I don't see a reason why we shouldn't have maybe police officers who go to our churches or responsible people who know how to use a gun and weapon be there to take care of us and keep us safe. I don't want it to be the Wild West where everyone's shooting at each other left, right, and center, but I also think that we need to have some kind of security in some very strategic places. Is that every church? No. But some churches, I don't see a reason why not.
At the end of the day, Abdu Murray, what would you want a person who's in the pew or maybe a pastor who occupies the pulpit, what would you want them to take away from this discussion on the problem of evil and the right and even a biblical mandate for us to try to constrain evil and protect the innocent? What would you leave us with?
What I would leave us with is this, is that the Bible says specifically that we will be persecuted. That will happen. In fact, Paul says, in 2 Timothy, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We need to accept that reality. We need to actually embrace it to a degree. We also need to recognize when we need to fight back and when we don't need to fight back with physical violence. I think that one of the problems I see, despite our conversation, is that sometimes Christians are getting involved in culture wars where we're getting an us versus them mentality, and we can't do that. We're in and not of the world, but remember something. They're not enemies to be vanquished. They are sinners who to be saved. And the blood of the martyrs in terms of the Roman Empire and the early church, that conquered. So that is often a better way. But we have to recognize that we do have an obligation to protect the innocent. That is a tough call sometimes, but we need to, from our pulpits, we need to preach the inherent sinfulness of human beings, but also the hope that is in the gospel. And I think, frankly, and it sounds simplistic, but I think it's true, the ultimate cure for evil is the preaching of the word and the giving of our lives in service and being shining examples of what it means to be Christians and be Christ-like. Because ultimately, if we win the hearts and minds of people at an early stage, then that will help to curtail, I think, the evil that is coming.
Abdu Murray, author of the book Grand Central Question. He is an itinerant speaker with Ravi Zacharias Ministries. Just a few seconds left. Real quick, what does it mean to be an itinerant speaker with Ravi Zacharias? By the way, I saw a great photo of you and Pastor Zacharias on Facebook the other day. That was fun. But what exactly do you do with him?
Oh, well, we travel and speak at various universities and not in secular areas where you do open forums. We'll do a topic, and then we'll have people do Q&A. We appreciate when skeptics come and do that, speak at churches as well. So an itinerant is someone who travels to speak, and I've been blessed to do that with Robbie.
Well, we're glad you're doing it. We appreciate your time this morning. Safe travels. We'll look forward to talking again soon.
Thank you.
Good to be with you. Abdu Murray, you'll find that audio, this conversation we're wrapping up here on MyFaithRadio.com later today. Take it, grab it, access it, share it. Let as many people as possible hear the wisdom of that man. I'm Austin Hill, back tomorrow morning, same time as usual here on the Faith Radio Network. Keep it right here. Be safe. Have a great day.